Hey guys, thanks for watching Ike Live. It's brought to you by Mystery Tackle Box. Please check them out. They've got a great product. Go to mysterytacklebox.com.
If you use the coupon code IKELIVE, you get 50% off your first Pro Box. That's $12.50 for a almost $50 value of baits in this box.
Hey everybody. Welcome back to Ike Live. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. I know we are. Just real quick, wanted to say before we get back to the show, thank you for watching and listening to all these Ike Live shows. We've got a brand new plan ahead of us in the next couple months. Of course, you've noticed that every Sunday now we've been kicking out some new shows for you. We've got some really amazing stuff lined up for you, so keep your eye out for some new great shows. And as a reminder, if you're new to Ike Live, if you're listening or watching for the first time, you can go back and listen to old episodes and watch old episodes anytime on IkeLive.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and now Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can get your Ike Live fix. Listen, we've got a whole other segment here for you, and this is going to be a good one. If you're a kayak angler, if you're an angler that likes fishing in general, you're going to love our next guest. She's great. She's not only a hammer when it comes to tournament fishing, but she's also a really great person and an inspiration for a lot of people. We've got Christine Fisher joining us just in a second, and we're going to hear her story. She's got a great story.
Yes,
Miner Carpenter.
Yes,
she also had some stuff happen recently that we're going to talk to her about. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's a good story.
I'm interested to hear it, man.
Cause, yeah.
We've been around Christine a few times now,
yeah.
And she's very impressive. She's a tough chick, and I think this situation really required a tough chick. So
right.
We're gonna find. You ready, or you got something you want to cover first?
No. I'd like to get Christine on here as soon as possible. I did want to mention Brian Carpenter. After we have Christine on, we're going to do an MTB unboxing,
yes,
which is going to be really, really good. And want to remind everybody real quick, if you're watching over on Facebook Live right now, you still have time. Like and share the feed. That's all you have to do. If you do that, you're going to be entered into a contest to win this Ike Live gift bag. And it's, what is it, 20? It's got to be 20 pounds, Brian Carpenter.
Yeah, 120 pounds.
At least 120 pounds worth of product. I'm excited. Let's get Christine on as soon as we can here.
She's ready, bro.
Oh, wow. You've got technology rocking tonight.
Yeah.
Besides the volume thing.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was nice to hang up on Dave, though, I got to admit.
It was good to hang
it
up on
really
Dave,
nice,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
But here's the funny thing. I didn't tell you this. So after you hung up on him, he sent me a text of a picture of us three in, like, high school or something. We're real young. And then he sent a picture of, like, something else, a very derogatory picture.
I'm sure.
And then a comment that said, worst producer ever.
He's such a jerk off. Whatever.
It's great, though. But you had to expect that from him.
Yeah, he didn't respond to any of mine saying, hey, no biggie.
No. All right.
Fuck him.
Listen, if you've been watching tonight, we've had a great show for you. Of course, Robert Field was on the first segment. And I want to say this before we get Christine on. If you talk about inspirational through what they're doing, through videos, through social posts, and this is a big one. And I got to tell you, I'm a fan. I'm a social media junkie, and I follow Christine's social media. And some very, very, very inspirational social posts that really do sort of wake you up, make you think, make you look around what's around you, make you realize what you have. A lot of positivity from her social post as well. But big inspiration for a lot of people. I think changing the sport in a lot of good ways. So happy to have her back on Ike Live.
Yes.
And we've got her here tonight for you. Christine Fisher joins us on the show tonight. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
Hi. I can never get used to this Zoom thing because normally when we have a guest on, the whole room's clapping, yeah. But now it's just me because Brian's pushing the button. So I'm just like, you know, clapping, and it's just so empty in here, you know?
Yeah, yep.
That's okay.
So on that note, can you get used to the social distancing thing yet? Because I know Brian and I are having a hard time. You know, we're best of buds, and we have to stay 6 feet apart. You know, I can't bro hug him. I can't high five him. It's very strange. How are you dealing with all the stuff that's going on?
You know, with the social distancing, for me, not a lot has changed. Aside from the fact that we don't have tournaments. Aside from, we just had one yesterday, but you know, where I'm going, what I'm doing, I don't really come in contact with a lot of people. I'm usually out with no cell service in areas where, you know, there just aren't a lot of people. So
yeah.
It really hasn't been that much, but it has given me an opportunity to kind of slow down quite a bit and just kind of recenter and refocus, which, you know, for a while there, I had been going 100 miles an hour nonstop. And
yeah.
It was kind of nice just to get a good pause on life,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. So what I agree with you, and I feel the same way, but I'm curious how much of you is thankful for this pause and how much of you misses the tournaments and the routine. And, you know, I'm a fish head like you, and I'm a tournament rat like you, and part of me misses it. You know, I am thankful for this time at home, and I'm thankful for the reset, but I'm also like, man, I miss those early days. I miss the map study, you know, late at night. There's a lot of things I miss, and of course, the competition. What's your ratio? Is it 50-50? Is it 60-40?
Man, that's a tough question. Out there, it was awful because, you know, we had, there were four or five tournaments coming up in a row on lakes that not only was I super confident on, but I loved fishing.
Yeah.
And not being able to fish those, having those canceled, rescheduled, that kind of hurt. But at the same time, like, I miss the community. I miss seeing the people of, you know, our kayak community is so tight-knit, and I miss the hugs and the check-ins and the, you know, the trash talking to everybody. Like, I miss
yeah.
all that too. But
yeah.
at the same time, I'm going to be real enough to say that I needed a break. I did need kind of a reset.
Yeah.
Needed to kind of refocus and just take care of me a little bit.
Yeah.
I did miss that grind, and I wasn't not fishing. I was still fishing nearly every day
right.
during this whole deal. That's never changed, but you know, I'm competitive by nature. And so that was kind of a tough adjustment. I think 50-50 is probably a really good, accurate representation of that ratio.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Me too. On the 50% where you had this time to reset, what's your biggest takeaway from the reset? What's the biggest thing that this time, this strange time, has given you or has made you realize?
Honestly, prioritizing. You know, I'm so guilty of making fishing kind of like a god, honestly.
Yeah.
Making it my number one, putting 120% effort into fishing, into being successful in that, where I not only neglected myself, but, you know, my friends and family and people close to me. AJ, I really kind of took that for granted, and
yeah.
I get, when I focus in on something and I want to achieve something, it's really hard for me to see anything else outside of that.
Right.
And having that break was kind of like, gosh, like, you know, I'm probably one of the more driven people out there, and when I focus on something, I forget about everything else going on.
Yeah.
And fishing was kind of, you know, it's an obsession for me. So, and that's good, but it also can be bad. And it kind of helped me see, like, ugh, you know, there's a whole other, a lot of important things out there other than what we love. And that's, you know, the world of fishing. So it kind of helped me see, call my family more often, touch base with my friends, you know, spend quality time with AJ, instead of being on the water for 16 hours every single day.
Yeah.
It kind of helped me remember that, hey, we've got, there is life also outside of fishing.
Yeah.
Which sometimes we don't always see that.
Yeah. I agree. Well said. I feel the same way. This is one of the first questions that I had that I wanted to ask you, because we sent a lot of promos out for the show tonight, And we did have a lot of people that and I want you to clarify this. A lot of people are like, man, Christine Fisher, she's just came out of nowhere the last couple of years, and just the last year, she's just come out of nowhere. And I want to hear it from you, but I think a lot of people assume that you just showed up and started catching them, and, you know, you're like this goddess of fishing that just appeared. But you've been working at it a lot longer than that, right? Oh, so man. Clear some of that up for the people that sent those messages, please.
Now, that's funny you say that, because I've gotten that too, but people say, gosh, like, I didn't know who you were, and now you're all over everything, and you just came out of nowhere. Man, that can't be further from the actual truth. It just can't. I've been grinding and working at this for years and years and years, and been very calculated in what I'm doing. And I knew that the method that I chose in this sport wasn't one of immediate growth. It was more of like, do the hard work, do it the right way, do it my way, and eventually the door is going to open. I certainly could have taken several other routes to get that quick fame and that instant success. Trust me, I had those opportunities there, but I didn't want to do it like that.
Right.
So it looks like I just kind of came out of nowhere, but I've been around for a little while. I had a couple really good tournament years where I consistently would cash checks, but I didn't actually win. And, you know, nobody cares if you don't win. So I think last year people really took notice because I won 3 national tournaments. And had, you know, another several other top fives, but the 3 big wins, I think, kind of catapulted me in that aspect, and people then kind of started looking around. But I mean, I've been doing this for a while and been working my tail off in every capacity, so I route to this deal.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and from afar, I think people can see someone's career or someone's success, and they think it's a lot of times they think it's overnight. But I know you've put the work in. I've seen it. So I want to switch gears, and I want to corner you on something a little bit, which is this weird thing that is gender. And you know, I want to talk about it because we've explored it a little bit on Ike Live in the past with other anglers, but I want to talk to you because you've been so successful. And I know you've said in the past that you never wanted to consider yourself one of the top female anglers. You just wanted to be one of the top anglers. You wanted to be one of the best kayak anglers in the world. You wanted to win championships. And you didn't care about gender. You threw it out the window. Almost to the point where you just didn't even mean anything that you're a woman. But I think something's changed in you a little bit, and with success, right, and with, you know, your personality and with your reach, you're affecting young women. There are a lot of young women that are getting involved in the sport because of you. Talk to me a little bit about that, because that's a tricky line there. And I know we've got a lot of females watching the show tonight live, and we're going to have a lot that listen to this podcast down the road. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Whew, that gender one's kind of a tricky one. And I mean, you're spot on. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, I came in 2nd or 3rd at a big tournament, and I remember seeing this like local paper about it, and it said first female to ever break the top 10 or something like that. And I was just almost like infuriated that they would even call that out. You know, it's like, I didn't want any of the extra attention or accreditation because of my gender. Like, I don't want people to say she's a great female angler. If I want to be a good angler.
Right.
I wanted to earn that respect. And that's, you know, that's why I didn't really ever compete in the women's only tournaments. I wanted to compete against the best out there, period. Male, female, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I was pretty outspoken about that too for a long time. About I didn't want gender to have anything to do with it.
Right.
And it drove me nuts. But that, you know, that did change a little bit last year. After I won that Kentucky Lake tournament, my first big win last year, the amount of, like, I remember the day of that tournament, I had hundreds of messages from women all over the world, different countries, because I qualified for Worlds and was the first female to ever do that. And guys saying that their daughters were watching and they didn't even care about fishing prior to me winning.
Wow.
And then it kind of clicked and I was like, man, this is way bigger than me right now. It's way bigger than gender. It's bigger than anything. It's it's basically telling a whole different audience that they can defy those stereotypes and they can, I mean, they can do it.
Yeah.
And it really helped kind of shed light on our sport and get all these, like, I had so many messages and pictures of people with their daughters holding fish and saying they want to be just like you, or their daughters would have a picture of me and they wanted to start fishing because they saw me doing it. And I was like, man, that's the good stuff right there.
Yeah.
You know? So I realized that, yes, I don't really want to be considered a female angler, but there's so much more to it than that.
Yeah.
So if I can do what I'm doing as a female, and that's going to turn some heads and get some extra attention and inspire some young gals out there, I mean, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. It's complex, but I think you're handling it the right way. And I do have to say this. I was lucky enough to be at the Hobie Championship, Brian the Carpenter, this year, down at Lake Wachita. And, It was the neatest thing. It was at Lake Seminole event, and it was the Super Bowl. That's right. It was a Super Bowl party, right? That's right. It was a Super Bowl party. And you guys had just finished that event in Bainbridge, and a lot of the anglers came together for this little, just watching the Super Bowl, hanging out. And I've never seen a community like the kayak community. It's such an amazing thing to see it, because I come from the competitive Bass Pro world where everybody wants to kill each other. Like, literally, everybody's like conspiring to slash your tires, slit your throat. But the feeling there was so unbelievable. It was just so tight-knit. But nobody, Christine, considered you like this female angler, be careful, take it easy. You were just one of the guys. You were just one of the anglers. And I loved it. I was sitting back watching. I'm like, this is great. Like, it's such a great feeling when you weren't set aside. You weren't put on a pedestal. You were just one of the anglers. You were just one of them, you know? I really felt that. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about it. Like, you know, my whole life, I'm a textbook tomboy ever since I was a 2-year-old. You know, I had sleepovers with guys when I was in elementary, and I just always gravitated towards the guys. And that was kind of, that carried in. I worked up in Shields, and I was the only female of like 30 hardliners selling guns and working on bows in the archery department. That's kind of been my whole life.
Yeah.
And then getting into the kayak community, I literally feel like I gained like 1,000 big brothers and dads and grandpas all over the country.
Yeah.
They've never treated me like anything other than what I am, which is an angler that loves to, you know, kick back and BS a little bit and try to catch some fish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. The kayak community is great. Really tight knit. Let me remind you, if you're watching or listening right now, you've got a question or comment for Christine or anything you're listening to right now, please hit us up on the IMs. Also hit us up on our social media feeds, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Ike Live Show. Rich, I think we've got a ton of IMs already sitting. You want to pass some through? What do we got?
For sure. First comment, it's kind of just a funny one, but Ed Radar said, Christine seems like the girl that would shotgun a beer at a party and then steal your truck while you're not looking.
I've done that.
You've done that? Wow.
That's about right. And Frankie on the message board wants to know, Christine, right now, what's your biggest goal that you're looking to achieve next in your bass fishing career?
Man, so I've got a lofty goal, and some people are probably going to laugh when they hear this, but I think every angler has this ultimate goal, and I want to qualify for the elites, and then I want to qualify for the classic, and then I want to win a classic.
Yes!
Step one.
Yes!
Oh,
yeah.
That's what's been that way for a while, but I mean, how could you not be in that arena and not want, I mean, I keep in there several times. Like, how could you not want to be on that stage? And just, that's what I want. That is my lofty goal of the next couple decades.
Wow.
For sure. And, Epic Eric wants to know, Christine, what's your favorite technique to bass fish?
Bass fish? Gosh, I got on a really good top water bite today, and specifically a big walking bait. And they were, for me, I'm very action oriented. I'm a power fisherman. I love, you know, obviously the chatterbait, spinnerbait, search baits, that stuff's awesome. But man, if you're like walking a big frog through pads, or you're walking a big walking bait, I love seeing fish just blow up. I mean, that's got to be one of my favorites. And I like skipping those frogs like way up under stuff, and then feeling that reward of like pulling a 6-pounder out of button bushes and all this. I just like that. I like stuff that makes you work for it. And I love those big blow ups.
What's your favorite place to fish?
Favorite place?
Yeah.
Bass fish? Like St. Clair, hands down.
Okay.
Hands down.
It's a pretty good.
I remember you telling a story. Hi, Christine. I've been kind of quiet.
I see you.
Yeah, I apologize, Pete. I'm stealing the whole thing, because here's the thing. You've got to interview Christine already several times. This is my first time taking reins of my own show here, Pete.
I know. I don't want to cut in on your action.
No, right? I appreciate that. I appreciate it. But I'm sorry to cut you off so long.
But it's good to see you again. I know, you know, I've spoke to you at the Classic a few times, and it's always great. You're always very fascinating and interesting to talk to, and you're the real deal, and you can really catch them. I know me and Mike have been waiting for the first woman to make it to the top, you know, bass levels and get to the Classic, you know, and that's coming. And so it's great to see you climbing. But you mentioned Lake St. Clair. I remember you telling me about fishing Lake St. Clair at the Classic. And it's just amazing. Mike, I mean, she's telling us about being out in her kayak in 5- and 6-foot waves, massive wind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how we talk about, Mike, how to navigate that stuff in our bass boats? Well, it's, you were telling, and just touch on it here, because I think it's amazing, like how you have to, you can't get parallel to the waves. How do you keep yourself upright and from getting into trouble when you're out in that real big stuff in a kayak?
Yeah.
Very carefully, Pete. I mean, it's very calculated, and a lot of luck, I think, is probably involved. No, but seriously, honestly, so like I said, there was one other boat out there for like 2 hours, and it got so bad for them that they ended up going in, and they were taking water over the front. And I think with a kayak, if you know what you're doing, you're able to kind of ride those waves out just a little bit better. Now I was attempting to stand up because I was musky fishing, and I hate musky fishing sitting down. It's awful. That was challenging. I ended up, it got really, really, really bad, and I had to finish out my day sitting down. But yeah, it was, unfortunately the bite was so good. Like, you can't, people are going to be really upset about this because it probably wasn't smart for me to be out there, but you can't not be out there.
Yeah.
Like, it was nonstop musky fishing. It was insane. That boat had a hard time calling it quits, and I eventually did. I wanted to stay all night, but I didn't. I made the right call and I came in. But as long as you kind of know how to keep your kayak oriented with those big swells, and you're aware of your surroundings, and you know, I had the right equipment on. I had a life vest. I had the right suit on. Everything like you. But man, what a trip. That's awesome.
That is amazing, because most guys in bass boats they're not launching in those conditions. So
no.
it's really a testament to your toughness and how much you love it. You're out there after it. And I see it, like a lot of ladies on their Facebook feed tonight. Lisa says, I can't wait to hear from a successful female. And there's so many of them are just, you are. You're a trendsetter. You're inspiring lots of women, and I hope and all fishermen in general. So you know, congratulate you on that, and look forward to what comes next for you.
Thanks, Christine. I got one more. Ryan Hambert on the message board wants to know. Well, he wants you to talk about your previous career as a yoga instructor.
Well, it wasn't yoga. It was a Pilates, which is essentially physical therapy on steroids. And I'm going to be real honest with you all. I didn't know what Pilates even was when I was approached with that opportunity. I was working up in the gun department and I was sitting there. I just sold a Browning A5 shotgun to a guy, and one of the older guys in his 60s was part-time. Yeah, good shotgun. That one. But I was sitting there and I was like, Alan, I love what I do. I love the stuff I'm working with, but I'm not made for a 9-to-5 corporate job. I was taking all kinds of vacation, all kinds of solo trips. I was traveling all the time, and having to get back and punch that time clock was killing me. And he's like, well, you know, my wife makes a lot of money, very successful, makes her own hours and owns a Pilates studio in town. And she's looking for an instructor. And I was like, what the heck is Pilates? Like, I didn't exercise. I didn't know what that even was. But he said, what got me was the freedom to make your own schedule. So I ended up calling her, and I am a textbook fly by the seat of your pants type of person. So not even 2 days after I spoke with her, I paid $15,000, flew to Colorado twice a month for a year, got certified, quit Shields eventually, and I started teaching Pilates, and I ended up loving it.
Wow.
It was an incredibly just rewarding career. I made my hours. I had an awesome clients that I still keep in contact with today. And the best part about it is, like, you know, I was goose hunting and there was a good push day and I was supposed to have an 8, 9, 10, and 11. I would just text my clients and say, hey guys, like, can we push this back 2 or 3 hours? No problem. So I'd go out and hunt for the morning.
Wow.
And then,
oh, yeah.
Come in, work. And so, yeah, that was a very, a good transitional phase in my life. And wow. Allowed me to travel and start fishing tournaments.
Wow. Here's the interesting thing. Real quick, I want to bring up this fact. Our very own Pete Glusick, the dean, actually took one Pilates class before. But he was officially banned from all of them after he had a camel toe.
He shit his pants.
No, he had camel toe during the Pilates. So he's banned from all New Jersey studios anymore.
Is that true? I feel like we need to hear that story.
Pete, come on. I know you're embarrassed, but just say admit to it. We're being honest here tonight on iDrive.
Dude, I am totally into yoga. Man, I'm doing it.
See, I told you.
I'm in. Camel toe and all.
Okay. All right. Camel toe and all.
Yoga's powerful, man. That's a very different. I've never done Pilates, but yoga, man, it really helps me in my fishing and my flexibility, and it's a lot more difficult than people think it is.
It's a martial art. It's a martial art that you do against yourself.
So cool way to describe it.
Yeah. It sucks, dude. It sucks. You got to, your muscles burn and start shaking in ways that, you know, you never can do it like lifting weights or like what I normally do.
I did it once, and I did it at a time in my life when I was in good shape, and it was the worst fucking thing I've ever done. It was terrible.
It is pain and suffering, man. Everybody thinks, oh, I'll do yoga, relax, get in tune with my inner self. It's just pure pain and suffering the entire time.
Bunch of old guys here. I want to switch gears, Christine. I want to talk about something that happened recently. And a lot of us got to see your social media post about it. But I do want to talk a little bit about it, because I think we've all had something, you know, a situation like that happen in our life, whether it's a car accident or a boating accident or a freak thing that happens. You know, for me, I've had several in my career. I was ejected out of a boat once. I put a boat up in the woods one time. I've had a lot of these experiences where it was really scary, really, you know, potentially, you know, a life-changing situation. And you went through one recently. Walk us through, not the whole thing, but, you know, a little bit about what happened and, you know, has it been so, you know, it only happened a couple weeks ago. Are you a changed person from that happening? Has that affected you at all in your life?
I've had a lot of people kind of reach out about that. And just to brief you all, I was in a really bad, really bad car accident a week ago. My AJ and I had been, you know, kind of holed up in the mountains at his boss's house during all this COVID thing. And We had finally, after about a month and a half of being there, loaded up our trucks. I mean, my truck is always loaded down with gear, but it was even more so loaded down because I had all my hunting stuff too, because I thought I was going to turkey hunt. So my back seat couldn't see out the windows. My front seat had three bags, a case of reels, and my laptop on top of it. And those mountain roads, you know, there's no room for error. There's no shoulder. And I went not even a minute after leaving his boss's house, coming around the first corner, my everything started to fall over on me. And I reached over just for a second to stop my laptop from falling. And yeah. My passenger side front wheel dropped off of the side, and it's a straight drop off. And I just knew, I mean, I was only going 15, 20 miles an hour. So I just put my hand back on the steering wheel and just kind of tensed up and braced for it. And it rolled down and I landed on my driver's side. All my gear was on top of me. My cell phone was dead because we had left at 6 a.m. That was the worst part, is my phone. I had just plugged it in when we left his boss's house, and it takes iPhones forever to turn on.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even call anybody. And the first thing I did was turn my truck off, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're in I've been in accidents before. It wasn't my first rodeo, but it was, I had to turn the key back on just to wait for my phone to charge so I could call AJ, who was waiting for me at the bottom of the mountain, because we took two different routes to get down there. So yeah, it was,
wow.
It just happened so fast, and yeah. It was like I had all my stuff ready in my truck, everything ready to go, and I was looking forward to that next moment, and it's like life just was like, no, that's not going to happen like yeah. that. I wasn't really scared. You know, I've been in so many brushes with death over the course of my life that I'm not necessarily numb to it, but I knew I was okay. That's the first thing I did. I was pretty calm. I said toes. I did feel a bunch of liquid dropping on my head. Not that kind of freaked me out, but then I tasted it and it was Listerine. So, I had my toiletries back there and it was like dropping on my head. And I was like, oh my God, it's gasoline. My truck's going to blow up. This is not good. But then I tasted it and it was like, oh, it's just, that's Listerine. Great. Yeah, I shouldn't have probably walked away from that one. The ambulance yeah. and the police officers that were there, they just were amazed that, one, I was okay, and two, that I was alive. Yeah. That kind of shook me just a little bit, you yeah. know, it's just how fast that can happen. And it makes you kind of think, like, you know, what's really important in life, and tell people that you love them all the time. You know, because it really can.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that are guilty of thinking I'm invincible all the time because of what I do and the type of life that I lead, and we're not. You know, yeah. our time could be, it could be tomorrow, it could be right now, it could be any time.
Yeah.
And it's just one of life's really good reminders.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got out of that without any injuries, any serious injuries?
I mean, I had a pretty good cut right here. I had a little bit of a black eye. I had some definitely have some neck pain and just some pain from where the seatbelt was. But I mean, I was fishing 2 days later. So,
there you go.
You know, yeah. Obi
was all right.
That was the best thing. That truck was loaded with, I had 20 rods in my truck, in my kayak. And I had three of them in the front seat. All my rods were fine. All my rods were fine. All of my, everything was fine. I couldn't believe it. The truck rolled like down a mountain and everything was good. It just was just a wild, the truck was not good, obviously, but
yeah,
all my gear was great. So
when you started to roll and when you got to the bottom, was your first thought, am I okay? Or is my fishing gear okay? What came through your mind first?
Well, I think you all know the answer to that. I kind of like looked out of the corner of my eye at my new Legend Extreme, and I was like, oh, it's not broken. That is a good day. That is a good day. Then I thought about my kayak, and then I was like, I'm good. I mean, I knew I was good. I kind of got knocked out for just a split second, but as soon as I landed, you can just tell right away if you're okay. You know, I didn't feel any pain anywhere. I could move my body a little bit. So I knew I was fine, and then that's when you just can relax a little.
Yeah. Well, it happens so quick, and it does tend to put things in perspective a little bit. So we're glad you're okay. I do want to talk about something else, which is it's pretty appealing to a lot of people. And of course, we had Robert on, Christine, right before you came on, and he sort of fits this MO and this lifestyle. And you guys too as well. You and AJ both. Your life, you know, you're kind of this, and there's a lot of other young couples as well that people are following. There's Carl Jochimson and Kayla, Brandon and his girlfriend, and a lot of Justin Lucas. A lot of younger anglers are living this lifestyle of, you know, camping. You know, you're in your fifth wheel, your travel trailer, your pop-up, and you're sort of just living life. You're doing your passion. You're fishing, you're hunting, you're camping, you're living your life on the road. So many people like dream of this. It's their ultimate dream. Talk a little bit about this, because I think, you know, you guys are sort of the poster couple for this movement and this lifestyle. But is it for people that are at home watching and listening right now and are saying, God, I wish I could be there. I wish I could be doing what they're doing. Is it a dream life like it appears to be? I think it looks pretty damn good, but I got to hear from you.
So actually, I listened to Robert's segment. I'm going to have to agree with him on a lot of what he said and kind of put this into perspective. For me and the type of person that I am and how I am wired, yes, it is 100% a dream.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. I love it. But I'm cut from a very different cloth than a lot of people out there. Like Robert said, social media does such a great job of like romanticizing the road life.
Yeah.
But the truth is, and the hard truth is, a lot of people are not cut out for road life. Mm. They're just not, in that aspect. And I always have been, my family's kind of like that. So I think you have to, the small percentage that probably could really enjoy and thrive in this lifestyle, as I'll add on to what Robert said, it's fear that's holding them back. They want that security, that comfort. The security is a big thing.
Yeah.
And they don't want to, they don't want to risk this. They don't want to say, well, I don't want to leave my house or my routine or what I've done or my job or my 401k or all of this. That's a scary thing to give all of that up.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps 99.9% of the people out there from truly living their life how they were supposed to, how we were destined. And that's to, I think, make an impact on the world. And most of us don't, because it's tough to take that big leap, because fear is extremely binding.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with this life on the road. For those that, you know, it could work for, I mean, it's not easy. There are things that really suck about it. You know, like hot water is a hot commodity. And, you know, if you can get it for longer than 3 or 4 minutes for most of us, AJ's always complaining about the water leaking in here or this or that. For me though, I'm happy. Like I could live in my truck. That's how simple I am when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
And I've slept at boat ramps and slept in the trunk of a car and my whole life, like on my travels. So that I love that. I love the adventure of it, but it's not pretty. It's not roses. There are downs. There are flat tires and breakdowns and no help and ACs that blow out. And, you know, it's life.
Yeah.
It's definitely not all roses and unicorns and kittens, though.
Yeah. I think, and you're right, you know, social media does sort of heighten the highs and mask the lows a little bit. But I got to tell you, from afar, watching you and AJ and Carl and Kayla, and it looks amazing. I think you guys need to start posting more of like you changing the poop pipe and, you know, like all the really dirty stuff of camp life, you know, as Aaron Martins would say, you know, a dirty campsite, you know, pulling up to one that's, you know, got diapers laying everywhere or something. That's the stuff you need to post to put people back into reality. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you need to post some of that. Let me remind you, you're watching Christine Fisher right now. If you've got a question, hit us up on the IM. Also over on social media, hit us up on Ike Live Show. I want to tell you this, and I haven't officially announced this, Brian DeCarpenter. Uh-oh. You know, you didn't even know this was coming. Pete, Riz, nobody knew this was coming tonight.
What's coming? Uh-oh.
And I think this is the right time for me to make an announcement. I'm not going to hold it like I normally do, announcement about announcement. I'm not going to hold it. I'm just I'm just going to let it out right now. Before I do that, though, I want to read through some stats, Christine. I'm going to put you on the spot and just read through some of these unbelievable stats. There's actually too many. You know, last year, three big wins. Of course, Hobie on Kentucky, Chickamauga, KBF event, Southeast Regional, KBF event. Man, all these seconds, a lot of top tens. It's unbelievable. 2018, I go back there, and I'm looking at least 10 top tens in 2018. Unbelievable stats. And here's what I want to announce officially. I'm here to announce that I'm going to be competing against you in a Hobie BLS event, yes, in the first week of October on Lake Dardanelle. So I want to give myself a round of applause just for trying to hang with Christine. I know I'm going to get my ass beat really bad, but here's what I'm going to tell you. And I'm being real here. This isn't a setup. This isn't in notes. This is going to be a first for me. I've never fished a big kayak event like this. I'm actually, even though it's months away, I'm a little nervous. I'm intimidated. I fished Dardanelle before, a little comfort there, but this is all new. Give me a couple pieces of advice, Christine. Give me some advice for fishing my first major kayak tournament. Because I'm actually, honestly, I've been talking to our guy Charles over here. I'm nervous, like, a little bit. I need, just throw me like two good pieces of advice for preparing or getting myself ready for this first event.
Okay, so you're going to be competing against me. Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Don't
one
show up.
1-10 whopper proper drop shotted in like 30 foot of water.
Whopper proper in 30 foot of water.
Time.
Huh.
No, but in all seriousness, this is advice for bass boat guys coming into the kayak world. Legitimate, solid advice. Because I see this a lot. When I just fished a tournament yesterday, and that BBT, that Big Bass Tour, Big Bass Trail, whatever it is, boat tournament was going on during our local kayak tournament here in Chickamauga. And the bass boat guys are notorious for, you know, if you know there's fish in the area, don't leave your fish.
Right.
Don't leave them. They'd cycle. I mean, they just, when you have 250 horsepower behind you, you can get up and run. And man, I can't tell you how many times just that slight barometric pressure change or just a tiny bit of change in the wind or something will fire those fish right back up. And
right.
It's like, bam, 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 bam. There's three big coals like just right there in 5 minutes and you would have missed it.
Yeah. I screwed.
Really get to know that area, you know, methodically.
Riz has.
I'm sorry, Mike. Riz has absolutely no chance of following this advice.
I know it's not easy.
I started off kayak bass fishing.
As a matter of fact,
it's a great piece of advice.
And everything came about. You know, I was toting around it, and I still have the kayak. I duck hunt out of it, and now even my dad uses it sometimes. He'll drop it in the boat he'll drop it in the lake by his house, but. You know, I started fishing out of a kayak, standing up in it at the Salem Canal, paddling all the way to DuPont's, and, you know, so.
Yeah, I've never seen Riz make more than five casts in one spot and run to the next.
We're learning, we're adjusting, we're moving with the tide.
Yeah, that will be a learning curve for me, and I do see that. I see it. You know, I've been on the sideline here for a few years now watching you guys compete, and I see that maximizing an area is so much more important. I read your write-up from your win on Kentucky Lake, Christina. I know you made a decision to stay on that second day instead of leave, how critical that was. So it's going to be I appreciate that advice because it's going to be tough for me to not want to run around. So I like that. Give me a second one. Give me a second piece of advice I need to prepare for.
So a second piece of advice, this is a big one. I actually found this out yesterday in many of my tournaments. Really do your map study and look for those bodies of water that you would never in a million years not only think of fishing, but that bass boats can't get to.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many tournaments are won in areas where you can't get a boat. And those fish are so incredible and how they can get back into these areas. and like on Lake Fork, there's 10 pounders that spawn behind where boats try to get. You'll see them trying to get back in there and then even go even further and there they are. And you couldn't even dream of getting back there.
Yeah.
But you got to just be creative and look. I mean, I spend a lot of time looking for that, for, you know, trying to weasel through culverts and get back into these little creeks and stuff.
Yeah.
And man, there's big fish that live there. Those big resident fish. So really it's cool because in a kayak, and like, you know, this, like, man, you're limitless to where you can go.
Yeah.
And don't rely on your, have you fished Dardanelle before, like in the boat?
I've fished Dardanelle before, in a full size boat. So I do have, a layout of where the big boats can get, but I think I got a few ideas of where I remember where I couldn't get. The interesting thing about Dardanelle, it fluctuates a lot too. So depending on water level is, you know, you can and can't get in places. So, there is a little fluctuation, but I do love that about kayak. There is no place you can't go. I love that. I love that. I know we've got a few more IMs coming through, and before we get to those, I do have one other thing. And remember, Christine, this is Ike Live, so you've got to tell the truth. That's the one rule on this show. That's it. Before I even pose this to you, I do want to tell you that everybody listening and watching as well, I'm gonna, when I fish this event, whether it's Dardanelle, and I'm pretty sure at this point it's going to be Dardanelle. If not, it'll be the one on the Coosa River. It's going to be one of those two. I plan on doing it right. Like I know the deal. I'm going to show up with my PA-12. I got a PA-12 360. I'm going to practice on my own. I'm going to put my time in with my kayak. I'm going to do it the right way. A few years back, a few years back, there was another bass angler, and I won't even say his name. Well, let's do it this way. Maybe it's better this way. I won't even say his name. Excuse me. There was another bass guy that entered one of the big kayak events.
That's right.
And he practiced for weeks in his full-size bass boat, laid 1,000 waypoints down, and then went out and won the event. I followed the social media stuff, and I know there was a lot of grumbling about that. How do you feel about that? And if there's other bass guys watching, how do you feel about that? So they know what kind of the kayak community's thinking.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. If that's what you think you need to do to have an upper hand, I mean, you're the one that's got to sleep with it at night. I don't like it. I would never do it. If it's a kayak tournament, get in a kayak and practice in a kayak. Mm. You know, it's a completely different type of fish. For even just a couple years ago, Hobie allowed it, that you could get in with a bass boat and fish. And there was a guy that flew in, drove around the lake with his buddy and had his buddy put him on a couple of schools and basically said, take your pick of these schools out here on these ledges. And the guy ended up doing pretty good. But it's like, man, you didn't earn that.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't really work for it. You didn't earn it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's okay. And I have a lot of respect for guys that do it in the kayak, that fish in the kayak, practice in a kayak, you know, practice how you're going to do in the tournament.
Yeah.
But you know, to be honest with you, Ike, like, if you got to practice in a bass boat to feel good and get that confidence and get out there and compete, I got no problem with that. I mean, I'll compete. I'll still do my best and try to take your lunch money if I can. But yeah, I'm not a big fan. If it were up to me and I were a TD, I'd oust that rule in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't want to be that angler that does that. I want to do it the right way. I'm willing. I want to take some ass beatings, Brian the Carpenter.
Oh.
Because I honestly want to.
Sounds kinky.
No, I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying I want to get better. I want to, you know, I want to legitimately try to win one of these kayak events.
Have your ass beaten.
Yeah.
Spanked.
Right. If it's not this year, next year, I really want to try to win one. And my bigger goal, by the way, even if I don't win, is...
Red cheeks.
No, is to qualify for the same tournament that I had to be at last year. I was there representing Hobie. I got to meet everybody and talk to everybody. It was great. But the whole time I'm there, I'm thinking, God, I wish I was fishing. You know, I wish I was fishing this championship event. So that's really an underlining goal, is to try to get to that event up in Knoxville. So that'll be great. All right, Rich, I know you've got IMs waiting. Let me get back to you. Riz, what do you got coming through here?
Yeah, Dave's 1970 mustache said, Mike, just go ahead and give up now.
They want me to wave the white flag already?
Yeah, and Ed's Radar says, Christine, don't be so kind. Just call it like it is. If you need a bass boat to fish a kayak tournament, you're a piece of shit.
Oh.
Ooh. I was thinking douche.
Can I say that on Mike Live?
that was heavy from Ed's Radar.
That's kind of what I thought.
Honestly, Christine, why isn't that outlawed? Why isn't that part of the rules where you have to practice out of the same boat that you compete in?
Hey man, I don't write the rules. I just play by them and play by my own rules. There's a couple entities out there where it's, I think they just want to get as many people as they can to compete, and so they are pretty lax on those types of things.
Gotcha.
That is what it is. There's a lot of people that think, well, if it's allowed, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And they're, you know, it's not against the rule, and they can do it. I personally just wouldn't ever.
Not only that, it was his home body of water, right?
He had a house. I think he won right in front of his house, if I remember right.
Geez.
But I mean, we gave him run for his money. I had him on, but then his fish started biting. So that's okay.
And the maybe real fake Dave Lefebvre says that he had to use a bass boat because he's using 13 fishing equipment.
I didn't say it.
Oh, man.
Hey, now. That's wow. Unnice.
Wow.
Unnice.
Unnice.
That is unnice.
That's very, 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 very unnice. I've got one, Christine. I'm looking over here on Instagram, and I've got one from Kincaid. Kincaid wants to know, Christine, I'm a Hobie owner as well. What's one or two of the key upgrades or modifications that I have to make to my Hobie?
Modifications or upgrades? Mm. Well, I would say the turbo fins, but they all come with that now. That was a big one for me. If he doesn't have the kick-up fins, that was new last year.
Yeah.
So if you've got any boat that's older than a 2019, those kick-up fins are unreal.
They're awesome.
Like lakes like Caddo and Lake Fork where you hit a stump and you'd be screwed. Kick-up fins are huge. Other than that, just a real simple one, that kayak cushion, you know, $50 little padding, that thing makes a freaking world of difference. Just on when you're sitting in a kayak as long as a lot of us are, you know, all day long, that thing's pretty sweet. That, and then in that center hatch deal, that square hatch. I like putting the square hatch there because I store all my high volume plastics, I like to call it, ones that I know I'm going to be using on tournament day. So I can fit like 20 bags of plastics right there instead of that vertical, deal with the tackle boxes. They're just some simple ones that I do aside from electronics and all that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. That's a good one.
Christine, Sato Max on Facebook wants to know, do you do any fitness to prepare for your kayak tournaments? And if you do, specifically, what are your exercises?
Oh, boy. My fitness for kayak tournaments would be kayak fishing. I fish, gosh, I do have one thing I'll add to that, but I'm literally on the water darn near every single day. That's about the best way to get in shape. But I will tell you another thing. So I've noticed, you know, once I stopped doing Pilates and, you know, started not taking care of like my body in that regard, I started getting, you know, from casting and reeling, I would get a lot of fatigue in my shoulders, my rotator cuff, and get a lot of tension in my upper neck. One super quick way to alleviate that, there's three main nerves that kind of run down your arm. So I'll do this all the time. I'll put my hand up against a wall, like flat palm like that. And then just lean. Oh, see, it hurts so good. It stretches all of those nerves down and helps kind of alleviate that pressure. That anglers will typically get from just, we're usually hunched over and we're casting, we're reeling, and we have awful posture when we're doing it. So just a quick stretch like that, I'll do it. You'll see me doing it all the time, and it, you'll feel it all the way down into your fingers.
We're all doing it right now, by the way. The entire cast right now is, I don't have a wall, but I'm trying it right now.
Yeah, I mean, do it. Seriously, like, stand up and put your hand out there, and you have to make sure your hand is against the wall and it's straight, and then just lean over, and you should feel that all the way down into your...
Wow. Man, I'll tell you, if Pete tried this right now, his arm would just fall off. He's so old.
A lot of wear and tear on these things.
You just see a little puff of smoke.
I hear you. Musky fish for just 8 years, and you'll have that too.
Oh, man. Christine, I want to get into a close here, but I do want to call you the plate on this. You've got Hobie events coming up. You're fishing the BASS events coming up. What's your goals for the rest of the year? We've got the whole summer and fall here ahead of us. Give us your goals for the rest of the year.
Well, I wanted to, you know, bass coming onto the game was pretty exciting for us. It brought a lot of exposure and maybe a little validity to our sport. I wanted to qualify for their classic next year, and I did that in the first tournament. I cashed a check and got 20th, I think, out of the 240. So that was kind of taken care of. But my ultimate goal, I guess, for the season, you know, that to see Ike, I mean, I want to qualify for that again. I was fortunate enough to qualify last year with a good performance, but this year I think it's going to be even tougher since they made it the top three.
Yeah.
I want to make it to that TOC. And I want to win another big tournament. You know, it's always just such a awesome thing. Like it's good to be consistent, but I want to win another big one. I want to qualify for TOC. I want to be there with the 50 best in our sport. There's going to be a lot more at stake at this one, and that's kind of the ultimate goal. Hobie has really catapulted the tournament scene and brought up this elite style tournament. And it's if y'all haven't fished it, I would highly encourage you guys to. It's pretty spectacular. So I want to be there, and I'm going to work my tail off. I've got some opportunity coming up. Kentucky Lake hopefully still go, and I've got some confidence on that one. So I'm kind of banking on a couple of those.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I've got the same aspiration. I'd love to be at that event this year. And I can't wait to fish my first kayak tournament, official kayak tournament. Definitely excited about that. Christine, real quick before we let you go, if there's people watching or listening that for some reason they're under a rock and they haven't been following you, give them a couple, what's your social media handle? How can they follow you and what you're doing day to day?
Absolutely. So Instagram is where I probably post the most. That's Midwest Fisher Gal. I put a lot of my inspirational long narratives on there. If people take the time to read, thank you ahead of time. I did start a YouTube, I think about almost a year ago now. I'm pretty new to that, but I put all my tournaments up there. I will put my tournament yesterday up here in a couple days, and I think that's just Christine Fisher. I don't even really know what my deal is on that, but I think it's Christine Fisher. And then Facebook is just Christine Fisher. Thanks, Riz. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
I'm still learning.
Riz is stalking you. I don't know if you knew that. He's stalking.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. Gotta love those stalkers.
He's hoping you have a twin on Tinder.
No, I just said I reposted some of her stuff in our stories, man. Come on.
Hey, if I have a twin, she better not be on Tinder. I'm going to say that right now. I'm going to have a talk with that twin. That's not a good place to be.
Tinder, that's where you find a great guy, Tinder.
Is that right? Are you on Tinder, Riz?
Only when I'm traveling.
Riz is on everything. Riz is on every app, every dating app you can imagine, but he's had his most success on the PetSmart app. I don't know if you knew that.
PetSmart.
I don't know where that's going, but hey, maybe. I mean, I got a dog, you know.
Christine, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It was great catching up with you, and the stories, the inspiration, You're doing a lot of great things for the sport, and I gotta thank you, because as somebody that's I'm very conscious of getting new people involved, I'm very conscious of getting young people involved. You're doing a great job of doing that, and I gotta thank you for doing that.
Yes.
So can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight, and wishing you the best of luck the rest of the year.
Yeah, thank you guys. I'm stoked to get to compete against you this year, and thank you guys for having me. It's always a good chat.
Thank you. Have a good one. There you have it, man. I love it. Great conversation. Hell of an angler. I know I'm gonna get my ass kicked. I've prepared myself for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I'm okay with that. I ain't afraid to get beat. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah, speaking of which, I didn't want to admit it in front of her.
Yeah.
Christine was still on.
Okay.
Off the rails.
That was awesome.
That was something
Did
else.
Did you hear that?
What was going on?
Yeah. Pete, I felt like it was the Baseline DJ's days, Utmost in Professional Dance Entertainment. All over.
Hey, Rich, maybe you can clean that up tomorrow.
Those of you watching live, you just got a bonus DJ segment by Brian the Carpenter.
Yeah, edit out that and Dave calling in.
Yeah, edit Dave calling in, too.
Yeah. No, but what I was going to say was Rich and I fished against Charles on Friday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I need to hear about that a little bit. Yeah,
so Rich and I drove up to...
we don't got to talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, to Spruce Run.
Yeah.
It's to about hour 40 north.
A little Ike Live virtual bass tournament.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
You know, heads up.
Right.
The three of us.
Right.
I was in the Ike Live John boat. Rich was in his bass boat, and Charles was in his kayak.
Right.
So
no way... First of all, no way the bass boat and the John boat... They should always beat a kayak, but it didn't happen that way.
It didn't happen.
Oh,
right.
Tell me about this.
Well, Charles whooped our ass.
Wow.
Man, my boat, my batteries were dead at 9:30 a.m.
Yeah, Rich.
Because the lake is 7 miles long.
Yeah.
And Charles knows all the good spots.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, you got to come over here to this side of the lake.
Yeah.
So all he did was tell me where the best spot was. But it was 4 miles down the lake, and by the time I got there, my batteries were dead, and the wind blew me back to the other side.
Oh, my God. Wow.
No excuses, though, right?
Yeah, but, you know, it just shows you, like, the number one, the most important thing in fishing is getting around the fish.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to catch them.
Yeah.
But you got to be around them.
Right.
And, and Charles, you know, he knows the lake. It's where he's from, and... However,
yeah.
He still whooped our ass and took two conference calls.
Wow.
And I went a hard 8, man. I was fishing like a maniac.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had the bites.
Yeah.
You know, I actually did have the bites to compete with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun.
I like Spruce.
Oh,
Spruce
dude,
is a good lake.
Oh.
Any smallmouth caught or all large?
Oh. Charles caught one, I think.
I caught one.
Riz caught a smallmouth. Okay.
Yeah. How did you guys compete? Was it like weight or inches or what were you?
So we competed on the Fish Donkey app. It was catch,
inches.
Photograph, release.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Charles had 82, I had 73, and Rich had like 45 or something, which, you know, ain't bad considering he did have dead batteries.
I like it.
I was drifting. I literally was drifting. For the second half of the day, and I was just flipping as the wind was blowing me by. So.
At no miles an hour.
It's good though because it's quiet. You're not spooking them. You're trolling.
Yeah,
them. Just...
yeah. I probably would have caught less if I had batteries.
That's right.
That's awesome. Listen, this is the part of the show I know a lot of you have been waiting for. First of all, Robert and Christine were great, awesome guests.
Indeed.
But Ike Live is the official podcast that does a live unboxing. And Brian DeCarpenter, we've got a nice, crisp, fresh. Actually, I smell this. You can almost smell these MTV boxes when they're fresh. This is a fresh, crisp mystery tackle box. This is the Pro Box we're opening up tonight, Brian DeCarpenter. I always say this. I'm put up to the mic. One of the best parts of a new box. Pete, you know this too. Listen. There it goes. You heard that seal break. Right there, and there it goes. That's a better seal break. And we're going to be opening up this box, and Brian Carpenter's got one. Pete's got one. I don't know if Riz has one or not. But,
no, we don't need to open up four
freaking boxes. We don't need to open up four boxes, but going to go through here a little. And, man, I'm looking through my box. We've got some interesting stuff here. Okay, and I'm going to go with this one. Brian DeCarver, you want me to hand you this box?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, and this is great. Once again, one of the benefits of MTB, it comes to your doorstep once a month, literally to your doorstep. You open up this box, and it puts in front of you a lot of cool new baits, new techniques and lures that are hot and trendy, but also lures that you might not normally use. And Pete and Riz, look at this one. Watch this one, because I want to show this. Brian Carpenter as well. This is a bait by Lunker Hunt. It's Lunker Hunt is actually Mike Hunt's brother.
That's right.
Lunker Hunt. And this is called the Yappa Bug. Okay? Pete, this is a cicada? What's the correct word?
Cicada.
John Cicada potato, imitation?
Potato.
Dude, I've seen days out there. Pete, verify this with me. I've seen days when they're sucking these things off the top. A cicada looking bait. the neat thing about this one, Pete, it's got the aesthetics of a real live bug, but it has a jitterbug front to it. Has a jitterbug front. So I know that'll have that shimmy back and forth. I could see this working, dude, on those hatch days. I've had it happen when you can't throw anything else. They won't eat it. I can see that working. It's kind of cool.
What is it? Is this this hollow body?
Hollow body, frog style lure, but looks like a cicada.
Let me see that.
Yeah, pretty dope. Pretty dope.
I've got one just like it.
You do?
Yeah, Brian's got me up on the this has the same jitterbug lip.
Yeah.
It looks, it's kind of a walk in the dog, like a Sammy.
Oh, long. Wow. Yeah,
it's very long.
Who makes that?
Slim. This is a Strike Pro.
Ooh.
I've never seen one like that. It's a, it's a clear plastic jitterbug body. Very unique, very similar to the same category you were talking about.
Wow. Interesting.
And I also got this D&L jig. D&L makes an amazing jig. They have a swim jig that I'm a fan of. And this looks like a finesse kind of flipping style jig. Very fine skirt on it.
Huh.
Really, really detailed, really finesse stuff. They make some good products, D&L.
Isn't D&L the one that Steve Kennedy used to come in second at the Classic a few years back, the one that Jordan Lee won?
I don't know. Maybe
I thought
so.
It was. Thought he used the D&L jig.
Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
I use them to swim. They make they have a really strong line tie, and you know it's positioned great, and their hook is perfect for a swim jig. But this is their flipping jig. It's interesting.
There you go. Looks good. Brian Carpenter, what you got?
So we got paired up. We got a Carl's spinnerbait. So they're making their own spinnerbaits. And they hooked you up with some split tail trailers.
Oh.
The original spinnerbait trailer.
Yeah. Nice long one. Yep. Yeah. I like it.
Yes,
pretty
sir.
Cool. Pretty nice.
Yeah, it's a good spinnerbait, dude.
There you have it. Riz has a pair of dirty underwear in his box.
Yep.
Steady swiping right.
PetSmart on the PetSmart app.
Yeah, we actually checked this bait out not too long ago. I think a couple shows back. The line through.
That's dope. I like the concept. Yes, we did. Yeah, yes, we did. Purpose. I like the concept of that.
Yeah, it's neat.
I really do. I like it. Let's go ahead and Riz, you want to get the winner of the Ike Live Facebook like and share contest? Of course, they're going to win the iconic Ike Live gift bag loaded with our sponsor products from all of them, from Mystery Tackle Box to Flambeau, Liquid Mayhem, TH Marine, Bash Universe, Tackle Warehouse, Dr. Squatch in there.
There's a Torquedo motor in there.
Everything's in there. Riz, what do we got for a winner on this thing?
We have a winner, and his name is Stefan Sirachman.
Stefan!
Congratulations, Stefan Sirachman. We will be contacting you via social media to get your information.
There you have it.
Yeah. All right.
Steven Stefan Sorokin. Congrats to you. Yeah. You win the amazing Ike Life gift bag. I got to tell you, Pete, this was a good show. I like it because, you know, we always, it seems like a lot of shows will have top-level bass tournament anglers on. And mm-hmm. today we had a couple anglers that are doing tremendously well in the industry as professional anglers that are taking a little bit different routes. You know, Robert with a kayak in the content world, and of course Christine in the tournament world through kayak fishing, trying to get even to a higher level than that. So I liked it. I liked hearing from, you know, those guys, and it was great perspective, and it is kind of a cool lifestyle, you know? Yep. You know, that, I don't want to call it total gypsy lifestyle, but that lifestyle of being able to, you know, travel and do what you love, what a mm-hmm. great way to live, you know?
The passion is there. The thing that I took away from Robert was to love the climb.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
he said that a few times.
Yeah.
And you know, I noticed that, you know, when I was competing as an athlete, and even in, when I competed in fishing especially, I love to practice.
Yeah.
Not everybody does.
Right.
Like people, you know, in a lot of different sports, the guys that really love it, that love to practice football or baseball or boxing, whatever it is, it's their thing, that they, when they're putting that work in, it doesn't really seem like work because right. they love it. and that's what, you know, that's what I took from him. I think it's so valuable to whatever you're doing, you know, whatever yeah. sport, whatever career you're taking on, it, you know, it's definitely the deal.
Yeah.
And Christine, you know, so many ladies showed up and are wishing her well and cheering for her, and it was pretty awesome. But her accident was something spectacular. I don't remember you being in an accident other than when you ran your boat in Louisiana up on the bank. You've put more miles on than anybody I know.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a bad situation?
I was in one real bad car accident when I was a kid. I was a passenger in my mom's car. Outside of that, I've been, knock on wood, I've been real fortunate.
Knock on that shit.
In the auto department. but I have been in some boating incidents, you know. The one on the bank, the getting ejected was one. Getting
in the Delta?
The Delta, at the Delta. I have a story from Lake Okeechobee where I almost got ran over by another boat,
ooh.
Like within a couple feet, you know.
Ooh.
So I've had those fair share of close calls, you know, like what Christine had, and does make you, it definitely makes you step back and say, you know, man, you got to be happy. You got to take one day at a time, be happy with your life, and make the most of stuff, you know, because you never know. You know, you never know. And it was, Brian, a tough year for a lot of us. You had a rough year with a lot of people passing away that were close to you.
Yeah.
A lot of us did this year. And it does make you think about that, you know, that you want to live every day to your fullest, you
yep.
know.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I can remember being in a couple close calls with you back in the day with you driving.
With me driving?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your first truck, your first Toyota.
Oh, yeah. The Yoda.
SR5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's some pretty cat-like reactions, and
yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
You were close, but
yeah, a couple
so
close.
You've never been in an accident. Oh, that's not true.
No, I mean I've been in stuff like some
fender benders.
Yeah, fender benders, yeah. And a couple little things, but not yeah. not horrific.
No,
you know?
Well, no, thank God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I know I've told it probably before. I'll do a quick one, but I was with Don Sky.
Don Skalewski, Hydra, baby.
We're driving to the Potomac River. I'm passenger in his truck, and we're not in the all the way left lane. There was somebody passing us in the left lane on 95. There's four lanes north and south, and this little compact car is passing us, and we're doing 70. They're doing 80, and about the time they got next to the boat that we were towing, the driver woke up.
Ooh.
Oh.
And he woke up and saw this big rig next to him and went left, hard left at 80 miles an hour, sent his compact sideways.
Uh-oh.
And he overcompensated and, you know, trying to straighten it out. and he went right and smashed right into the trailer. And we're both full speed. I'm a passenger, and like, you remember, I tell this, the like when you're in school, you're watching that school bus crash video that they always show you as a kid, you know, so you're supposed to wear your seatbelt or, you know, behave on the school bus. And there's things floating around the school bus. My coffee was floating around. It was like in mid-suspended air. It was like,
oh, everything God.
Went in a slow motion. And I'm the passenger, right? So outside of my right out of my window, there's the boat. The car had driven the boat, pushed it all the way around, and it sent us into a 360-degree spin. With a trailer attached boat, we're spinning around. It's rush hour. There's cars everywhere, and we're doing a 360 boat and truck together. And it rights it. And Don's doing like Brian just described you doing. Like he's braking, steering, he's doing everything, trying to control. And he finally gets us, and we shoot across the median into oncoming traffic.
Oh.
And at that moment, there was no cars, and we pulled off, and you know, we're totally in shock. I went to go get help. There was no cell phone. It took me 10 minutes to get across the street because there was no break in traffic.
Wow.
But at that exact moment that we were in the oncoming, there was no cars.
Wow.
And we had a flat tire. The trailer was bent, and you know, we went fishing. We made it. Nobody got hurt. We
Crazy.
Survived it. We went down to the Potomac, and we went and neither one of us caught a bass that day.
Wow.
Like we were so spun out. Like
yeah.
we were just glad to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah, that's,
you know,
scary.
We never caught a fish. But that was by far the most devastating, you know. And I've seen a few fender benders. I had some craziness on the road over the years.
Yeah.
But
that's
but
crazy.
That
as you were telling the story, it's funny. I mean, it's not a funny situation, but as you were telling the story, I was like imagining, you know, as you were talking, I was putting myself in that truck and seeing your coffee like in slow motion, like in front of you. And I was imagining the other stuff that would be in Don Skaluski's cab to the truck. And I saw a Hydra spinnerbait floating in the air. It was, Pete, it was the white with the red, and it had the silver tinsel in it, if you remember that
red
one. And that was suspended, and then all of a sudden, from the left, I saw a pack of Red Man chewing tobacco suspended in the air, coming through, like real slow. And then all of a sudden, from his dash, it was the lake. Remember the old lake maps, the New Jersey lake guides that were just like hand-drawn maps? That was like some guy just sketched it. It wasn't even real topo maps. That was coming across the front.
And the tips would be like, pickerel can be taken on live shot and now. That was like the guy.
Yeah, largemouth, spinners, and crank.
Oh, my God. Dude, those were the days, though. I tell you, we said this before on the show. Don Skaluski. Shout out to Don Sky if you're watching right now. I know you're not. Don Skaluski was way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
I feel bad because he was so ahead of his time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he was for our area, he was smart, dude.
Yeah.
He had his shit together.
Man. His spinnerbait.
He had it dialed in. He had the strategies that everybody's employing now.
Yeah.
You know, he had them figured out, but you're right. He was ahead of his time.
Too ahead of his time.
People were like, this dude's nuts. He doesn't know.
Nope. He had
but
books.
He knew.
He had videos. He had books. He had baits. He had a storefront. He, you know, he backed it up through tournament fishing. I mean, he had it. He had good theories on the Delaware River.
He hung drywall when he wasn't
fishing. He hung drywall when he wasn't fishing. He's a good, smart guy. Yeah.
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 It's funny. He came up with the strategy everybody's using now. Like, everybody's an affiliate and they're selling tackle.
Yeah,
he was doing that crap 30 years ago.
Oh yeah, ahead of his time. Last I heard, he was managing a what is the camping place, Camp World down in South Carolina.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to to the show tonight. Brian, it was a good one.
Yeah. Enjoyed it.
It was a good one. This was a fun show. Definitely want to thank our two guests, Christine Fisher, we just had on. What an awesome, awesome girl. Amazing tournament angler. Robert Field, great, great celebrity in the fishing world, doing some amazing stuff over on YouTube. Riz and Pete, thank you guys for making a special night. Brian DeCarpenter, yes. Pushing buttons. Thank you for cutting Dave off. That would have been a disaster.
Yeah,
trying to deal with his shit for two segments.
Yeah, well, like we needed him to keep saying he couldn't hear Mike. I get it. You can't hear. Like
we got to see his lights though. That was a bonus.
That was good.
Yeah.
Somehow Pete and Rich are managing, but not Dave.
Yeah.
It's all my fault.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, so before you cut.
Yeah.
We're gonna be back next Sunday.
We will.
Right?
Yes.
And we're working on guests for that. We don't have the guests lined up.
Working on, yeah, I'll tease everybody a little bit. Next Sunday, 8 p.m., working on a big guest to be announced real soon, in the next couple days, hopefully.
Yep.
It's going to be a great show.
Thursday?
Thursday, BU, Pete, right? Coming up?
We got Brian Thrift lined up.
Ooh, big guest.
We're going to talk some topwater fishing with Brian Thrift on Thursday.
Okay.
Yep.
Maybe a big prize giveaway in that. On that show,
ooh.
Working on that as well.
Ooh.
It's topwater time, man. It's amazing. Everybody loves it. Even Christine talked
about
it.
Yeah, she did.
It's her absolute favorite way to fish.
Everybody.
So I'm excited to have that show on Thursday, and we'll dive in deep with Brian. He's amazing. So topwater time.
Last Thursday night I was live on YouTube last night with a smallmouth crush, Travis Manson.
Travis
and Epic Eric.
Epic.
I don't think you can find it. I think after we were done, Travis took it down because it deteriorated into a pretty sloppy, drunken mess. And I'm still wearing the hangover from it, but yeah.
You can still find it on the dark web, though.
Yes, perhaps.
You get a peel through.
Found out that Travis shaves his toes.
Ooh.
Yes, he's so offended by open-toed shoes and hairy toe knuckles.
Yeah.
That he shaves his toes. He's trying to lead by example.
Huh.
Yeah, we found that out last
Interesting.
Night.
Brian, how many days have you been live now?
It's been like five or six
straight, hasn't it?
Yeah, like four times this past week?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Live.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a crazy world. Well, everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got two podcasts now, so. What the fuck? I think there were like five of them tonight.
There's five of them tonight, yeah.
Duncan was live. Going on. Yeah.
Dude, Lane Johnson even has his own podcast now. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles.
The Eagles guy that we interviewed has his own podcast.
Yeah, podcast for everyone.
Podcast for everyone. Before we go, too, let me remind everybody one more time. If you want to catch up on old episodes of Ike Live, if you want to watch them or listen to them, lots of ways to do it. IkeLive.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and now Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So go catch up on your history lessons, especially the other podcasts. You got to learn how to do it.
See
that big silence? That means that was a total lie. Riz, Pete, thank you guys. Appreciate it. See you soon. Brian DeCarpenter.
Always awesome.
Thank you. Everybody have a good night. Cheers.
How was that beer tonight, Mike?
Beer was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Founders in the house tonight.
Flounders.
Good night. Good night.
Hi. Today we're going chest to chest in the Dr. Squatch lather test. On that half of Mike's impressive chest, we're rubbing him down with three name brand bars. The result? A sad, milky film of disappointment. How's that feel, Mike? You see, Big Soap cuts corners and strips out all the sudsy goodness in order to make production cheaper. But not Dr. Squatch. Don't worry, Mike. Dr. Squatch soap retains all the natural ingredients, which creates a rich, foamy lather, leaving your skin healthy, soft, and clean. Ooh, looks like Squatch is taking over this peck party. How do you feel now, Mike? Dr. Squatch Natural Soap. When we say it lathers, it f***ing lathers. You deserve glorious lather. Take the lather challenge for yourself today.
4.5-inch drop shot worm. Bama bug. Finesse jig, PB&J. Give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. I didn't always know this much about fishing. 4-aught EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras, like free fishing magazines. October 2016. Featured article, 4 places to throw a frog. Exclusive decals. Zombie bass. And how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Ooh, live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy. Oh. Is he in my pocket?
This time of year, I definitely recommend putting a little bit of this on your soft plastics, too. There he is. Another one. Next cast. And that would be number 6. I'm addicted. I'll admit it. I'm straight addicted.
It might be bigger.
You think so?
Yeah. It feels bigger. I haven't even seen this thing yet. It doesn't want to come up. Don't break me off the rocks.
Oh, it's a... Oh! Oh!
7-incher.
He caught it.
28.
Oh my god, that's such a healthy fish. Look at the size. Put a little liquid mayhem on your crappy jig, and look where the stripers get it.
You can't even see it, man.
That might be a keeper.